Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. I bet that didn't it? This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're here on this rainy day and holiday weekend to celebrate Ascension Sunday with us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. We are especially pleased that you're here today and want to extend to you our wish that you would become a part of our family of faith here. There are lots of ways to do that, but one is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. There are lots of those opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to read a few. Our combined summer Sunday school class begins next Sunday, June 4th in McWhorter Hall. It'll be led by local author and educator Michael McCray. He'll be exploring the historical roots, contested theology, and current realities of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I know this is going to be a really, really enlightening and interesting series of Sundays. It begins next Sunday at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall. Secondly, we need some volunteers. Our Sunny Day Club is a respite program for those in the early stages of memory loss, and the club is at capacity but could grow. We have the room, we just need the volunteers. They meet on Mondays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., and if you think you could help with that program, they really have a lot of fun in there. If you could help with that program, contact the Reverend Erin Racine and let her know. Also, we're about to update our pictorial directory. And this is especially important, I think, because we have a new senior pastor coming. We have a new associate pastor coming. You have no idea how helpful it is to have many people's photographs. I know everyone won't do it, but as many as possible, photographs of persons within this congregation when you come to a new church. You did that when I arrived, and it was so very helpful. I think you would do that for Carol as well, and for Brandon as well. The portrait sessions with Life Touch are in June, August, and September, and you can go to our website and sign up for those, westonumc.org/takemypicture. Additionally, to welcome our new pastors, Carol and Brandon, and help you get to know them a little bit better and them to know you a little bit better, we're encouraging you to wear your name tags. Some of you didn't even know we had name tags, did you? Well, we do. And if you have one, dig it out, wear it. Again, it is so very helpful for new staff to get to know your names. If you don't have a name tag or need a replacement one, you can't find the other one, please go to the table in Reed Hall following the service and sign up. Now, we're asking for a $3 donation to cover the cost of the name tag, but believe me, if you don't have $3, we can probably spring for one if you promise to wear it every Sunday. Our church offices will be closed on Monday, tomorrow, for Memorial Day holiday. Also, just to alert you that in the second service, we're going to have some guests. The children and youth choirs from Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City will be joining us to help lead us in worship at that service. Also, on Saturday, June 10th, we welcome the Nashville Concerto Orchestra back to West End for a concert at noon. You can read more about most of these announcements in your bulletin insert. Don't you just love waiting? Waiting for worship to begin? Waiting for the rain to stop? Waiting in line for brunch? A lot of life is taken up with waiting, isn't it? Well, our story this morning from Scripture has Jesus telling his disciples that that's their job. To wait. Stick around. Let's see what they do while they're waiting.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit sent with grace divine and met thy truth within us.
Thank you. your hands, shout for joy.
Our Lord reigns on the throne of glory.
We open our hearts to the ascended Lord who sits on the throne of glory.
May God's name be ever on our lips.
Jesus has entrusted the ministry of God's love to us.
Let's make our hearts ready with prayer and praise.
You may be seated. Let us confess the incongruity between our faith and practice. O Lord, we have not lived our lives as kingdom people. We place our crowns on hopelessness, fear, and selfishness. We are ruled by our schedules and our need for control. We forget that your kingdom draws near to us on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, we pray. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. Amen. May God, in the power of Jesus Christ, be made visible in your life. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and empowered to serve. Join with me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father had set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to come and bring a parent or grandparent or friend if you would like. When I was a youngster, like you, I hated to wait. You know, when I was 6, I had to wait a whole year to be 7. When I was in 2nd grade, I had to wait a whole year to get into 3rd grade. And from the day after Christmas until the next Christmas was about 100 years, or at least that's what it felt like. I hated to wait, and yet I always had to. I had a friend in college who used to tell me when I would say, "I just can't wait for something to happen," he would say, "I bet you do." We all have to wait, don't we? There's no other choice. But the question is, what do we do while we're waiting? One of the things I really, really didn't like to wait for was company to come to our house. On holiday weekends, and this is a holiday weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, often our family would come visit us, or we would go and visit them. Well, if they were coming to visit us, I would stand at the window of our trailer and look out and just watch the road. I would ask my mom, "When are they going to get here?" She said, "I don't know." "When are they going to get here?" "It won't be long." Finally, she would say, "Why don't you set the table? Or why don't you help me with these biscuits?" She would give me something to do, and that would help the time pass, and it helped with the waiting. Well, when we were going to someone's house, "How long will it be before we get there?" "It won't be long." That's what I heard. But she would give me something to do, like count the cows along the way as we went toward her home place. And it helped the time pass. Well, Jesus, in this story we just heard and I'm going to talk about, tells his followers that they're just going to have to wait. And we're going to see what they did while they were waiting, okay? You listen, and if you catch what they did while they were waiting and you come out my door, you be sure and tell me what they did, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being with us and giving us important things to do while we wait. Because we know we're not alone. You're with us in our waiting. And you're the one who gives us the important things that we do while we wait. So we're grateful for you, and especially for your love that we have seen in our parents, grandparents, friends, this church, and especially in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for coming down. I don't always do this. Some pastors begin with a prayer and end with a prayer. That's not my practice, but I am today going to start with a poem and end with a prayer that's kind of a poem for me too. The poem I want to start with is by a poet named Marie Howe. It's from a collection called What the Living Do, a collection of poems she wrote during her journey with her brother as he lived with AIDS, and then in the months and years after his death. This particular poem is called The Gate. I had no idea that the gate I would step through to finally enter this world would be the space my brother's body made. He was a little taller than me, a young man but grown, himself by then, done at 28, having folded every sheet, rinsed every glass he would ever rinse under the cold and running water. "This is what you've been waiting for," he used to say to me. And I would say, "What?" He would say, "This," holding up my cheese and mustard sandwich. And I would say, "What?" He'd say, "This," sort of looking around. Our text today comes from the very beginning of the second volume of a two-volume work we know as Luke Acts. In the Gospel, Luke describes the life of Jesus, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his appearances to his followers. And then, apparently, of all the Gospel writers, Luke is not satisfied to stop there. He wants to tell the story of what happened after Jesus left his disciples in this world. So he writes a second volume. That volume is addressed to someone named Theophilus, meaning lover of God or perhaps even beloved of God, which interestingly enough could be the name of an individual, likely was, but also could describe any of us. So while it was written to an individual, it also was written to us. He begins by recounting a bit of the end of the gospel, not necessarily telling it the same way, because you know we storytellers like to vary things. So he doesn't necessarily tell the end of the gospel exactly the way he does in the gospel. But then he has Jesus gather with his disciples. And they are very, very excited because they believe that now is the time that Jesus is going to drive out the Romans, going to establish the kingdom of David with him as king and them as the king's closest counselors. All of the dreams they had, they thought were crushed at the crucifixion, have blossomed again. So they ask the question, is now the time? Is this when you're going to establish the kingdom? And Jesus puts that question off. He says, hey, that's way above your pay grade. You don't need to know that. But your job is to wait. You wait here, and the Holy Spirit will come, and you will receive gifts you never imagined. What is about to happen to them when the Holy Spirit does come, and you'll have to come back next week to find out about that, is nothing they expected, nothing they could have predicted, nothing they could control. But their job is simply to wait. At some point, there'll be witnesses, but in the meantime, they wait and they devote themselves to prayer. If you continue reading this story, it says what they did while they waited. One, they devoted themselves to prayer, which meant they were listening, watching for God's Spirit to be present in some way that they would recognize, a way that would say, this is your calling, now it's time to go out and witness. So they spent that time in the awareness of God's presence. There was presence in that waiting. And they took care of one another. There were about 120 of them, Acts says, men and women, some whose names we know, and some whose names we have never heard. So while they wait for this Holy Spirit visitation, whatever that happens to be, they're doing essentially two things. They're waiting and watching in prayer, and they're taking care of one another. About 20 years ago, I got involved with a group of nuns down in Cullman, Alabama at Sacred Heart Monastery. It's a long story that got me there. I won't go into all that. I will just say that another United Methodist pastor I met while doing some workshops at Sacred Heart Monastery told me that he was an oblate. I had no idea what an oblate was. It's simply a lay person who is connected to a community, in this case, Sacred Heart Monastery, who agrees that they will follow certain disciplines and certain practices. And after a few years, I got interested in that, and I too became an oblate and have continued those practices through the years. But what I want to tell you about is when I would visit the monastery. I would have to drive from Nashville all the way down to Cullman. And it was usually in an afternoon, and usually I would arrive just before evening prayer. And I would go in where the sisters were. I'd be sitting with them, and we would sing or read the Psalms. Well, my motor was still going 60 or 70 miles an hour. And when they sing or read the Psalms, they do it very slowly. And they pause at the end of each line. Well, I am sitting there just anxious. I don't want to wait. I don't want those pauses. I don't want that end of each line to mean we're just going to sit there. And often it took me the whole retreat that I was there to change my rhythm and match it to theirs so that there was time and space to listen. The disciples would have been singing or speaking those same psalms as they were in prayer and listening for what God's Spirit was going to tell them and what God's Spirit was going to do. You have to allow that space in the waiting for God's presence to be there. And we are so busy, and I am so busy, and we are in so much of a hurry, and I am in so much of a hurry, that often I don't allow the space to listen and to allow God's presence to surround me and infuse me. When Jesus assigns his followers to wait, that's what they do. They make space for the presence of God's Spirit to surround them and to infuse them. A couple of weeks ago, I got to teach a class at Wesley Seminary for their Doctor of Ministry students. The class is entitled A Word Out of Silence, Narrative Spirituality and Preaching. Well, since it's called A Word Out of Silence, one of the things we do is that at the beginning of the morning session and the beginning of the afternoon session, we would read a passage of Scripture, usually a psalm, but not always. We read this passage one morning, and then we would sit in silence and allow whatever from that passage, what image, what word, to infuse us, to enter us, to surround us. Then we would read the passage again from another translation. And for another, say, 10-minute period, we would sit in silence. And we would allow the images and words to arise and speak to us. And then the question I would always ask at the end of the second silence was, what did you hear in the silence? At first, it seems like an odd question, doesn't it? You're not supposed to hear anything in the silence, but we always do, don't we? Usually, we're listening to all of those outside noises. There's a lawnmower going or a truck backing up, and you can hear the beeping. But what we were listening for were those internal noises of the presence of God with us. At the end of the week, when I asked the students what was the most important part of the class for them, it was no surprise that for several of them, those periods of reading and silence and reading and silence were the most important part of the week. They were listening for the presence of God. During that week, they built a community, not exactly like the community in Coleman, not exactly like a church community, but they built a community. Half of the students had been in the same learning track for 2 years. The other half were taking the course as an elective and were added in. This was their first time to meet with the other students. But there was this sense of hospitality that embraced the whole group so that by the end of the week, they had created a community and were caring for each other and will continue caring for each other when they go back to the various parishes or chaplaincies or lines of work, whatever they might be, that they serve. We're in a period of waiting too, aren't we? We are waiting for Michael to retire and for Carol to be appointed here. And in that waiting, some of you are experiencing grief. And honestly, some of you are experiencing relief. And some of you are experiencing excited anticipation, which I have to say I am. I'm very excited that Carol and Brandon are both coming here. And I really do think that God's Spirit is going to work great things with them and with you as they serve among you. But there's always that anxiety that goes with change, isn't there? Any change, even good change. So what do we do as we wait? What do we do in this meantime? Well, I suggest maybe we could take a clue from the scripture. To be open to what God's Spirit is doing among us. During this transition, as I pack boxes of books and take them away, and Carol brings in boxes of books and unpacks them here, as we move through this transition of meetings and passing information and passing the baton like two relay runners, I've run my leg and now I'm passing that baton to Carol. Chris has run his leg, he's passing that baton to Brandon. As we do that in this time of waiting, it might be good to slow down, to pause, to listen. Because the same promise of God's presence that was given to the early followers of Jesus is given to us. We who are lovers of God, we who are beloved of God. And we can learn from those people in communities who know how to do this sort of thing. Those people in the monastery at Sacred Heart. Those students who create a community, even though many didn't know each other when they came together at the beginning of the week. We take care of each other. That's the other thing we do. We reach out to each other in our grief, and we reach out to each other in our relief. We help share that excitement and anticipation of the new while we help to manage that anxiety of change. That is our calling. It's no different. Because you see, we too are waiting for God's Spirit to do something great in this church. We don't know what that is yet. We could not predict it. We could not control it. And yet the promise is there. We have no idea what it's going to look like yet. But the promise is there. In times of transition and caring, there are those times of waiting when we don't expect the change to turn out well. We look around our table at a holiday and there's an empty chair. And last year someone was sitting there, or 5 years ago someone was sitting there, or even 20 years ago someone was sitting there. It's one of the things we remember this weekend for Memorial Day. There are empty chairs all around. And we will not encounter those persons again until we do so, as that beautiful bidding prayer from Lessons and Carols said, on another shore and in a greater light. And yet we care for persons in our transitions, and we care for persons in our loss. So I want to end with a prayer. I said I would do that, didn't I? Which for me is still kind of a poem. Will you pray with me? God of us all, whose desire is that all of your children live as one, we offer thanks for all those who have died in war while praying for and seeking to serve the cause of peace. We pray for their families, our sisters and brothers in sorrow, that they may know your constant companionship in grief and your healing presence in that empty seat at the dinner table and in that empty space in their home and hearts. We also remember those who return home wounded in body, mind, soul, or spirit. May their night terrors end and the anxieties of the day cease. May they find their comfort in the presence of the one who was wounded by our refusal to live his message of peace. May we all hear your good news in a way that empowers us to work with you toward that day when swords shall be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In the name of the one called Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We tell our stories in many ways, and one of those is to borrow words from Scripture to affirm our faith. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 887 in your hymnal and join me as indicated as we affirm our faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us show signs of reconciliation and love to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, to my left, following the worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary, and you can find them by looking for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to share any prayer requests you might have. Please indicate if they are to be shared or to be kept confidential. And you can place this card in the offering plate when they're passed down the pews in a few moments. If you've not done so already, please take time to share with us your presence here today by recording your attendance in the pad that you'll find at the end of each pew. And as you pass it back down the pew, please note those with whom you're sitting and be sure to greet anyone you may not know following the worship service. Today we celebrate with Emily and Travis Hollett the birth of their daughter Millie Kate Hollett, who was born May 19th. She's welcomed also by her big sisters Grayson and Sarah Scott Hollett, and that you will see that the rose is in her honor today. Let us not cease to give thanks to God who has seated the resurrected and ascended Christ at the right hand of the Holy One in power and great glory. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, in this age and every age, for the healing power at work in Christ to fill our world with grace. We pray for our world, for all leaders, people, and nations, that they may exercise a spirit of wisdom as we serve the common good. Shield all who suffer from terrors of violence and war. Bring them safe to them safety and new life in you. Make us one family gathered up in your love and clothed in the power of your peace. We pray for all those who long to experience the immeasurable power of your love. Open our hearts to sing your praises and to share the story of your blessing, that all may come to know our living and ascended Christ. Bless your people everywhere with food, shelter, health care, and employment sufficient for our flourishing, that all may thrive together by the riches of your grace. And fill us with a joy for justice that inspires us to do our part for the prosperity of all. We pray for all in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing love and power, and the power of Christ to bring life in the most difficult times. Keep us mindful of the hope and great power that we have in you as we offer your healing to others. O God of glory, sovereign of all nations, the risen and ascended Christ calls us to carry your message of life to all people. Led by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we witness always to the hope to which we are called as we share Christ's love to the ends of the earth. All this we pray in the name of Him who was raised to live and reign in power for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has given us the gift of Christ, risen and ascended for the life of the world. Therefore, let us offer our gifts in return that others may know this glorious news. I invite the congregation to please be seated, and I invite the Parrott family to come forward.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning Gail and Noah Parrott come before the community of faith for baptism. Mike Parrott comes to reaffirm his faith and renew the covenant declared at his baptism. Gail, Noah, and Mike, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And to the congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with the community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that, dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. You all may kneel. Gail Harlan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Noah Hill, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael Kent, remember your baptism and be thankful. And now the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
I invite the others who are joining to come forward. And y'all may stand. I'd like to introduce you to Mike and Gail Parrott, along with their son Noah. Mike is in consulting with Aon Risk Services. Gail's a stay-at-home mom, and Noah is now in the eighth grade at Franklin Road Academy now that school is over. Mike is transferring from the Disciples of Christ Church. Edwina Balthazar, got it, is a litigation calendar specialist with Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw Pittman, and she's transferring from City Mark Church in League City, Texas. And then Quinn Siegel on the end is married to Josh Siegel, and they have two children, E.B. and Sammy. Quinn is an attorney with Baker Donaldson. She is transferring from First United Methodist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. So Mike, Gail, Noah, and Edwina, this first question is for you. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ, the United Methodist Church, and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries. If so, say I will. To all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation and called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, the new members will say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Mike, Gail, Noah, Edwina, and Quinn are now entrusted to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Please join me. Yeah, thanks for all that God has given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Before I send you forth, I want to offer a word of thanks to God for the blessing of Caitlin Dowling. This is Caitlin's last Sunday with us. She has been a wonderful, wonderful colleague for the past 2 years. She will be going to serve as Associate Director of Music and Principal Organist at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And so we thank God for you, Caitlin, for the gifts you've shared with us. And I think we can all offer a thank to God for her. Bless you, sweet friend. Now go forth to watch and wait, to listen and be open to God's presence and spirit, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God is always with us. God came to us as one of us in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to walk in the way that Jesus led, now and each day. Go in peace.